Hey everybody, welcome to High Ridge Church Online. We're so glad to have you here with us today. My name is Julie and I lead worship here with my amazing husband, Chris, who is our worship pastor. And today I get to bring you the message. I'm so excited to do that. So let's dive right on in. If you want to go to your Bibles, you can open up to Romans 12 and then stick your finger in Mark 10. We're going to go there in just a minute. So just a few weeks ago, I had the chance to preach for our student services on Wednesday nights. And I asked the kids a question on Instagram before the message. I said, how many of you know exactly what you want to do with your life? And the other answer was, or do you have literally no idea what you want to do? It was very interesting. It was about half and half. Some just like knew exactly what they wanted to do. And some of them were like, I have no idea. And most of them, the closer they got to graduation, the less they knew. I didn't have the heart to tell the ones who really knew, which everyone who's over 25 knows. It doesn't really matter. If you have the plan, it's not going to look really like what you planned. You might actually accomplish the things that you want, but it's not going to look anything like what you thought. Because how are you supposed to know, right? Like we can't predict the future. You know, when we boil it down, there's a few things that we actually really do want in life. It may look like being an architect or being a realtor or something like that. But really, when you boil it down, I've found about three things that we really want and that we really need. One of those things is that we just want to be loved. Like we want to be known by someone and we want to be loved for who we really are. One of those things that I didn't realize until you're older and you have bills is that a deep need that you have is to know that you have enough. Like it's not really like I need to be super wealthy. It's more just like I need to know that I'm going to be taken care of and that I don't have to live my whole life in fear of not having enough. And then the last thing that I think that we all have a desire for is to know that our life matters for something. Like we're not just here to take up space. We're not just breathing the air and doing our job until we die, but that our life counts for something, right? Yeah. So if you're here and you're joining me today, if you're here in this room, we kind of are already at this place where we know that God loves us, that he made us for a purpose, and that maybe he has something to say about that, that he has a way that he wants us to live in order to get to live that life. And so the word really gives us a great pathway. There's a scripture in Romans 12. So follow me there. 12:1-2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We're going to stay focused on that first verse today. I could spend forever talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is a life-changing principle. So if you're interested in that, and that just like piqued a question in you, I have a great resource for you. Go check out Craig Rochelle's new book, Winning the War in Your Mind, and you will learn a lot about how to transform your mind. But today we're going to focus on that first scripture. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I believe with all of my heart that the way that you get to live God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is by learning how to be a servant in his kingdom.
Yeah. So good.
We get to experience that good life by that. So the question is, what is serving? You know, in our culture today in America, we don't really have a context for what a real servant really looks like. Like in our food service industry at this point, that's not really a service industry. Now it's more of a collaboration. I go in and we're gonna help each other get what we need, right? I'm gonna help you get you my order. I'm gonna come to the counter and I'm gonna tell you what I need. And then I'll probably come up and grab the food when you call the number, but you're gonna bring it to me. So we're working together here. That's not really good or bad. That's just the way that our culture is now, is that real service is kind of reserved for when you get into the upper echelons of like luxury dining, really nice hotels. In fact, it's so rare that when you do experience it, it's kind of shocking. Like it almost makes me shrink back. Like, are you allowed to treat me like this? Like, I feel like a queen right now. Am I allowed to do that? Real service reflects the value of the person that you're serving. And then in church culture, we live in East Texas and we have a very strong church culture. There's some good things with that and there can be some challenges with that. One of those is that when you have kind of a way that you talk and the way that you the language that you use for things, things can start to become a cliche. You can take things for granted, and also misconceptions can start to creep in that are attached to words that you use. And so unfortunately, I think that we've got some misconceptions about what serving is, especially in the body of Christ. And I want to talk about those today. I want to break them down for you. Bob Goff says serving is, it's not, well, first of all, let me say this. Serving is not cleaning. Like, cleaning is cleaning. And everybody has to clean. So everybody clean yourself, clean your house, okay? Yes. Here's a good definition to work with. Bob Goff says, serving is giving myself in love to God and to others. Yeah. And from that scripture, in view of God's mercy to offer your body, to me that means that we're giving ourselves back to God. We're giving our love back to God and to others, right? So serving is whatever you do to give back to God or to others what you have already been given. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Right? Okay. All right. So Jesus, there's an example that Jesus laid out. And I wanna break down this scripture before we get into those misconceptions. In Mark 10, if you want to kind of go towards the end of the chapter, Jesus just like dropped a bomb on the disciples. And he literally lays it out. He says in verse 33, he says, listen, the Son of Man is going to be sentenced to die. They're going to hand him over to the Romans. They're going to mock him. He's talking about himself. They're going to spit on him. They're going to flog him, beat him with a whip. They're going to kill him. But after 3 days, he's going to rise again. Do you guys know what the next scripture is? James and John, sons of Zebedee, his besties, come up to him and say, hey, we need to ask you a favor. That's tone deaf. If you need to know what tone deaf is, that's tone deaf, okay? They literally walk up to him and say, we need you to do something for us. And he's like, okay, what you need? And they say, in verse 37, they say, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to the one, next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. That was their first thought after that revelation from Jesus. And then Jesus has a conversation with him and is like, can you really do what it's gonna take to do that? And they're like, oh yeah, we know. We're up for it. He's like, well, I hate to break it to you, but you are gonna drink from this cup. There is gonna be suffering happen. And so they're like, yeah, it'll be fine. And then the other 10 disciples, they hear that James and John talked to Jesus and said, can we have those spots? And it says they were indignant. Why do you think they were indignant? Because they thought of it first, because they got their shot before they did, to ask for the promotion or to ask for those top spots. So at that moment, Jesus has a moment that every mom and every teacher has when the moment goes off the rails and everybody's wildly off track. He basically says, everybody come over here. Everybody get over here, sit down. I wanna talk to you. It says, Jesus called them together, picking up in Mark 10:42. Jesus called them together and he said, listen, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's like, guys, I don't know what impression you got from me that that's what we were going to be doing at this point. But what I'm showing you is that I'm gonna be a servant and that's the life that you're gonna live. You're gonna live lives as leaders. You're gonna get to step into authority. But if you wanna do it, you're gonna become a servant and a slave. And I just thought it was interesting. I looked up the Greek words for those words. The word servant is diakonos, and it means one who executes the command of another. Doesn't even get to be their idea. They're just taking the commands and executing what's asked of them. That's what a servant does. Yeah. The next word, slave, is from the Greek word doulos. It means someone who is bound to another to see to their needs. The submission of a doulos is actually at a higher level than that of a diakonos or servant. So a doulos has a relational quality to it, that you're not just executing commands, but you are committed and submitted to the needs of a person.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the qualities that Jesus is looking for people who are saying yes to him. So I want to talk about a few misconceptions that I've seen in my own life. I've seen it in the church, and I've had to learn how to break these down so that God can give me a new heart when it comes to what he wants to see in my life and to living his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's the first misconception. And let me just say this really quick. Misconceptions are how Satan steals away the joy and the power of the commands that God gives us to do. Because they're not chores, they're not tasks, they are keys to our very best life. So I want you to take note of these misconceptions. And the first one, serving makes me Martha. So in the Bible, in Luke 10, 38 through 42, there's a story about a woman named Martha, if you're not familiar. I'm going to read this for you. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits there while I'm doing all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, and everybody, every Christian knows this, "My dear Martha, 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 you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." At every single women's conference, there are hundreds of women crying over the fact that they feel like Martha because they have so much work to do, right? Every place you go, this is one of the things that women do struggle with, because the misconception is if I'm doing, I am disconnected from God's heart. I am not as spiritual as the person that's leading worship and can just sit there and just like sing songs to God all day. I've heard women say to me, I'm never gonna be that person. I'm never gonna be that emotional person. Kids need to be fed. Like the place has to get cleaned up. Those men needed to eat. Like it wasn't gonna be better for her to not feed them, right? So if the doing is not what's making her a Martha, what is? It's distraction. Distraction is what makes her a Martha. It's not serving that makes you Martha, it's distraction. So then how do we do it? How do we do and not be distracted? Well, there's another really cool person in the Bible that I want to tell you about. His name is Stephen. And in Acts chapter 6, this is right after Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit has been poured out, Jesus is revealed, so many people are getting saved, and all of a sudden there's this boom of movement of the Holy Spirit. The apostles are teaching and preaching. And then there are all these needs that they're starting to meet the people around them. And it all starts to kind of pile up. So they're saying that, you know, the Greek-speaking believers are complaining that their widows aren't getting treated well and all of these things. And the apostles realize we need to have some people that can take care of the responsibilities. They didn't say cut the food program. They said somebody's got to do this. But did they say, we just need like, you know, whatever idiots that don't know how to read the Bible and don't know how to, you know, aren't spiritual enough? No, this is what they said. They said, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the spirit of wisdom. The spirit and wisdom is what it says. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles, we can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, so they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch. Do you guys have any idea how hard it was to say those names? I Googled it like 5 times and then I started confusing myself. And then I was like, did I say Stephen right? I don't know. Y'all, I went to Bible school, but I didn't get into that class. And I probably wouldn't have passed it if I went. So I did a good job. It says these 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. These men were full of the spirit and wisdom to execute what was needed to be done. So when you serve and you invite the Holy Spirit in to empower you to do it, you're not Martha, you're Stephen. And don't you believe that there are miracles and signs and wonders happening in the middle of that food program, right? Yeah. Okay, they needed people that were full of the Holy Spirit, that everyone had a role to play, and Stephen got to play his role. The second misconception that we have is that serving, especially in the hidden places, is how you get yourself out of the mix. It's how you become invisible, right? So there's a scripture in Colossians 3:23. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. That's how you keep yourself centered in the middle of doing the hidden work. You remind yourself that first of all, he says there's an inheritance. So there's an inheritance coming. There is a reward. It's gonna happen in heaven. When you put your hands to work that has eternal impact, there is an inheritance coming. And the second thing is, if no one ever says that, no one ever recognizes it, that you are serving Jesus. It's pretty cool. You know who you are when you know that there's something more for you. Like if I say, yes, I'm ready, I wanna serve, I wanna do all these things, I know that I'm called to be on the platform. It's my turn, I wanna preach. And they're like, hey, nice, awesome, I'm glad you're a part of this. Why don't you help me take out the trash here? And you're like, how are anybody gonna know? How's anybody supposed to know what my giftings are if I'm just holding the door, right? Like, this is not what I was made to do. Well, I need you to understand something, is that God prepares you for every next season. He prepares you right where you're at, right? Yes. Who you are is what opens the door to the next season. And I want to give you this picture. Oak trees, they take years and years to grow, and they have huge spreads of branches, but their root system is just as deep and just as wide as the branches on the top. Mm-hmm. So the root system, your roots are who you are. The branches are what you do. Yeah. So let God do the unseen work in you to build your root system, and you trust him with the bloom and what everybody else sees later. Yeah. Okay? All right, so also your roots, one of the root systems that God wants to put in you is developing relationships. And through serving, you get to develop a deep relationship, a root system of relationships. When I was 12 years old, I grew up in this church my whole entire life. Literally, my parents were trying to get pregnant when my mom got saved and they came to this church. So grew up my whole life here. Back in the day when I was 12, the rule was for joining the worship team, and I was singing since whatever, you know, if anybody would let me sing, I'd sing. The rule was you had to be 12 years old and you had to come to 3 practices and then you could be on the worship team. So you better believe the Sunday after my 12th birthday, I showed up to practice, and 3 weeks later, I was on the worship team. So since I was 12 years old, I've been serving on a worship team in whatever capacity that anyone had the good pleasure to have me. In any place that I've been, in every place that I've been, that's what I've, one of the things that I've done. Mm-hmm. My sister's laughing because she's seen it all. But the thing is, what do you think happens when a 12-year-old starts serving? Do you think that they're like emotionally developed? Do you think they're like know how to be really honoring, respecting of their parents at that point? Or like they've ever really been through, I had never been through anything really difficult with my friends. I'd never even been had a moment yet where God had asked me to not do something that I really wanted to do and then did it and then went through that whole thing, right? All of that was happening in the middle of me saying, yes, I'm gonna continue to give my gifts and serve my church. Right? Well, what happens is when you stay in community and you stay in that place of connection, the relay time between screwing up and figuring out you have and who you hurt and how to apologize is really short. So it was really easy for me to grow in a healthy way because I was in connection and serving, and there were people that loved me and that loved the Lord that could say, come on, Julie, you're better than this. There's more for you here. So when you stay in connection, when you serve, it is the secret to healthy growth. We think it's the way to become invisible and to miss out on whatever's next for us, but really it's the secret to healthy growth. Yeah. So good. Okay, the last misconception that I have, this is the big one. The misconception that we all have is that serving drains me of all of my resources. It leaves me empty, worn out, and burned out. Mm-hmm. We are terrified of burnout. We are terrified of being taken advantage of being used and abused, and most of the time, it's because we've experienced it in some way. So we start putting up these protective walls around us and say things like, I just need to take care of myself. Like, I need to be the best me that I can be before I can be good for anybody else, right? Like, those are some of the things that we say. And you know what? It is important for you to take care of yourself. That makes total sense, absolutely. But there's a couple principles in the scripture that helped me take the next step. As I was a young mom and married, I'd always known I had a call on my life, but I had these real questions. Like, if I do more than just take care of my family and make sure we're provided for and make sure that we have a healthy home, if I step outside of that, is it going to hurt me? Is it going to hurt my family? Is it going to take away from what we've already established here in my family? Like, how can I move forward? Because I feel this call from the Lord. So Lord, what does your word say about that? And there's two scriptures that I want to point you to. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And the second scripture is Proverbs 11:25. It's become one of my very favorites that Pastor Tim mentions all the time. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Here's the truth about serving. It does not drain me. It does not burn me out. It enriches me. It refreshes me. And it refills me. I grow healthier, more whole, and I build family as I serve. These scriptures, understanding when you take the lid off of these scriptures of just applying to finances and you start to look at all the resources that you have, when I looked at my life and stepped into my very first small group, being a leader of a small group, I realized that I had a poverty mentality when it came to my resources of love and of emotional, like, caring about people. Some people care a lot. I became very aware quickly of how limited my care, you know, like how far that went and where it stopped, right? And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can care about these people enough. They're going to tell me scary stuff, like weird stuff, and they're not going to want to listen to my advice. So what happens then? We're just going to be like stuck in a weird place, and I'm not going to have enough love to get, and I'm going to have to get out of here. Like that really was my fear. The problem was I was looking at my resources of love and of emotional presence and of walking with someone through whatever season that they're in. I was looking at it as a finite resource, but the scripture, give and it will be given to you. The Lord started saying, Julie, listen to me. Serving doesn't burn you out. Giving doesn't burn you out. Running out of fuel burns you out.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not what you do that burns you out. It's what you stop doing. It's what you stop feeding yourself with. So what's our fuel? What is it? What is that source? It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. There's a scripture, John 7:37-38. Now on the last and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and called out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water." Yeah. I even took that, changed that mindset of me just being like a cup that gets filled up and poured out. So then there's like this, sometimes there's this small moment when there's lag and it's like, I didn't get filled up fast enough and I'm just like dying, totally empty. He's like, nope, you're a water hose hooked up to the source of life. Yeah. There are rivers of living water flowing out of me at all times. And when I came to God saying, I don't think I have what it takes. I don't think I can lead. He's like, you are very correct. Yes, young lady. Yes, you are correct. You are incompetent, unable. There is nothing in you that's going to be enough to love people, to walk them through whatever season that they're going through. But I am, you just got to hook up to me, girl, and you're never going to run dry. And I have stood on that promise. And guess what, you guys, man, that first small group stepping out and just saying, I'm just going to love people where they're at. Now, I don't know how many we've led, 6 or 7 or something. I've never been more rich in love, more rich in friends, more rich in wisdom because of the people that I get to pour into and they pour back to me. When I'm struggling, people have blown me away with generosity to me. It's been absolutely incredible. I'm so grateful for the relationships and for understanding that principle that when you give, it's going to be given back to you. That's a promise that you can take to the bank. Also, I just want to give one quick piece of advice to adults who need friends. There are all kinds of funny jokes out there and memes, especially bless introverts, and they struggle, right? And then when you become an adult, you're like, how am I supposed to make friends? Like, we're not in school anymore. Here's my advice, okay? You need to find a common purpose. That's how you made all your friends before this point. So if you're just trying to go out and find friends, just go find somewhere to serve and then find the people that care about the things that you care about. You will make friends. You will make lifelong friends. The best friends that I've ever had in my entire life, I started serving with them years ago and we still are best friends. And it doesn't even matter if we're in the same city. We bonded. We are brothers and sisters. All right, so now we ask the question, how? How do we live this life? We've broken down these misconceptions, but what does God want from us? How do we do this? We're going to go back to that scripture, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So number one, we need to be in full view of God's mercy at all times. The minute you take your eyes off of what Jesus did for you is the minute you start to get distracted and start to get worried that you're not gonna have what it takes. That's why every 7 days we physically come together, we worship the Lord, we sing together, we speak scriptures to one another, and there are people that stand on this platform that infuse courage and encouragement and remind us of who we are in Christ and what he's done for us. It's why you need to be physically connecting with the body of Christ, because we have to be in full view of God's mercy at all times, or you're not gonna have what it takes. I can promise you that. We need to be in full view of his mercy by spending every morning, every day. I can't go a single day without reminding myself. That's why I keep a gratitude journal, why we celebrate wins, why I turn on worship music in my house, especially when the kids are acting crazy. I'm like, time to worship, let's go. Dance party for Jesus. It doesn't have to be serious, but in full view of his mercy, gratitude at all times. It's what keeps me ready to quickly respond to the opportunities in front of me to give and to serve. We view and we review his mercy in our lives continually. Yeah, that's right. Number two, we offer our bodies. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't say, Julie, I want you to offer your emotions to me. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, I want you to offer your, he didn't even say, I want you to offer your song. And I love to sing to God. Love it. He didn't say, I want you to offer your ideas or your written word. He said, Julie, I want you to offer your body as a living sacrifice to me. So I'm like, okay, my body, what? Like, what is my, you know, how does this work into it? It's not like, Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul. Your body. My body is the vehicle, the method, the transporter of God's Holy Spirit and his heart on the earth. So my body, your body, is everything you are capable of in life. It's your ability to act. Your body is how you act out the will of God on the earth. It's how you touch the people around you. It's how you give to the world. So when I, back in the day when we read the scripture, like living sacrifices, I just thought of myself as like a carcass, like breathing on an altar, you know, like, okay, God, you can do whatever you want with me. So I'm fully surrendered to you. And he's like, nope, get off that altar. Go do. This is the doing part. This is all of your ability to act. Mm-hmm. And we're not like Night of the Living Dead people walking around like with no control over what we do, and God is just like using us as puppets. No, this is full collaboration. Yeah. This is being fully full of the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he's asked us to do. With our hearts engaged. You have the power to execute the very heart of God with your hands, with your feet, with your mouth, with your arms. The calories that you burn can change the world and build the kingdom. How crazy is that? The words that you speak and the words that your beautiful brain comes up with, all of those things are offered to the Lord. Yep. So where's the best place for us to use all of this amazing ability to act? What group, what organism, what living body of people have a united purpose that are living for an eternal values to seek and save the lost? It's the church, y'all. Yeah. It's the best decision you could ever make to invest your energy into serving this body that God designed to execute his heart on the earth. It's the best decision you could make. Sometimes we think, okay, well, it's like not that big of a deal. It's not a big deal for me to take the trash out. It's not that big of a deal to like make the coffee or on a worship team, it's easy to say, well, I just do this one part or I just do this one part. Guys, I want you to think about it like this. It's like paint by numbers. Like grab a paintbrush and paint your number. And when everybody paints their number, beautiful, beautiful masterpieces happen, right?
So good.
That's what we do. If you start to belittle your part, then you'll miss out on the big picture of what God's doing. Then when you get real crazy, y'all, so everybody, every local church is a little paint by number. And then you like zoom out and there's millions of local churches all over the world that are fulfilling their part in the body of Christ. How cool is it to be a part of that and to do that?
So good.
So I want you to ask a couple questions of yourselves today as we're starting to close up. The question that I have for you is, what unique gifts, what unique experiences do you have that has perfectly prepared you to paint your number in your local body? Do you see students and you see their zits and pimples and their hormones and you just love them because you remember and you just are like, oh, I just love you and I want to give you the tools that you need to know that you're okay and you're loved and you're going to make it. Do you see the three-year-olds and your heart comes alive when you get to tell them that God loves them and that you love them and that it's fun to throw marbles against the wall and see what happens? Like, are you that kind of person? Are you one of my favorite types of people? Super, super geek to the max, and you would rather wear fire for a hat than stand in front of a spotlight, but you love to make things happen on a tech side. We've got a whole group of people, and every church has people that do that. They stand in the background, and they make everything come to life. Yeah. That could totally be you. Are you someone who sees the potential danger? Like, there are people at our church who literally their job is to watch the kids as they walk from building to building, to make sure that everybody's safe, to watch prayerfully. Are you lucky enough to be a part of the group of people who make people feel welcome when they walk into this building? Every single one of us have taken a risk and stepped in somewhere where they didn't know anyone before. And your first impressions team or your greeters team, our greeters team, is one of the most powerful extensions of God's love at our church because it tells the first-time guests that they made the right decision. They're not going to be let down. They've found one friend starting off. So who knows what's going to happen after you get in the doors, but at least there's somebody there who's ready to say hi to you. What unique gifts and callings has God given you? I just want to tell you one quick story. About 6 years ago, our church knew that it was going to be going into transition and we were going to start looking for a new pastor. And immediately my heart I wrote like half of a song and basically it was just like, yes, I'm just saying yes to you, God. I'm saying yes to the future, whatever it is that you want to do. And I sang it and I could picture our church singing it. And I sang it in my house over and over and over. And I cried and said yes to him, yes to the Lord, yes to the future. And then Pastor Tim came and I got to say yes to him. And I said, hi, I'm Julie. I love it. Let's do it. Let's go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I'm like, he has no idea how gifted I am. He's about to let me sing the song in front of everyone, right? Like, this is my next step. And he's like, amazing. I am so glad to find people who are here ready already to say yes to what is coming next. He's like, great. I need to take this laptop. I need you to go in that office, shut the door. I need you to transfer 300 songs to a whole nother online platform. I need you to get all the data over and just go for it. And I'm like, cool. Nice. And you know what? That was the yes. The song wasn't the yes. The song was practice. The yes was actually doing the work that seemed insignificant in the moment, but I knew in that moment, I understood the value. I understood that if I didn't do this first thing, then we couldn't do the next thing. And we can do the next thing to build the team and to build the church and to set everything up the way that we go. Let me tell you a really cool into this story. In about 2 weeks at our night of worship, we're going to get to sing that song fully written on this platform with all the people that I dreamed of singing it with. Right? Awesome. Yeah. I'm super excited about that, but that never would have happened if I hadn't given my yes with my action to the very first step and the next step and the next step. So what's in your hand? Who are the people that God has called you to right now? Who are the people that you love and you notice and you see? What giftings and callings does God have for you? For those who are like big time doers, I want to ask you a question. Have you lost sight of God's mercy? As soon as you do, you're going to run dry. So I want to encourage you to turn your eyes back to Jesus. And for those of you who are really good at singing the songs, y'all, that's me. That's me. Here's the question for you. Have I done everything except for doing the thing that God's asked me to do? Have you talked about it, prayed about it, sung about it, written about it? Now it's just time to do it. It feels very unspiritual, but you're going to experience power like you never have before when you take that step. So I want to close this down, and I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you today. It seems like a message that doesn't feel very like spiritual kind of, because it's about the doing, but it's the other half of the promise. Yeah. We view and we do. We receive from him and then we give. So let me pray this prayer of blessing over you today. Lord, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters, those who are saying yes to you, who are asking for what you have next for them, God. Those who are saying, what are my gifts and who have you called me to? And what do you have for me? Lord, I pray that right now, that as they ask those questions of you with open hearts and open hands, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just drop in that person, that area of their church that needs help, that needs people to understand how valuable it is to help in those areas, Lord. God, I thank you that you've placed us in a body. It's not a business, it's not an organization, but like we're a family, and families are a team, and we get to work together to execute your heart on this earth, Lord. Would you give us a heart that you want us to have? Help us to see the lost. Help us to see the work of our hands, not as something small and insignificant, but with eternal impact in everything that we do. Lord, would you bless every single person in the sound of my voice? Would you give them vision and calling and purpose and connection and community, Lord? Those who maybe haven't even stepped into a physical church in months or it's been a while, Lord, that they would step in and say, I'm saying yes again to community. I'm saying yes again to connecting physically with the people around me because I know that I'm needed. I need to bring something to this body. Lord, I speak a blessing over their families, over the generations that are coming. I believe with all my heart that this generation is going to rise up like never before and say, we are giving our hands and our feet and our hearts and our words and the rest of our lives to serving the kingdom of God. Lord, would you do that in East Texas? Would you do it at High Ridge? And would you do it across America, God? Would you raise up a generation who say yes to you? Lord, I pray that they would have the best week ever, that they would live out their callings and get to experience the very best life, your good, pleasing, and perfect will in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for bearing with me. This is my first time speaking on to a camera, so hey. You and me, we did it. So if you enjoyed this, if you're encouraged, would you go ahead and share this on your social media platform? It's the easiest way you can share your faith. Y'all have a great day.